To order. It is 1:23 p.m. on Monday, March 11th. Today, with us so far, Representative Sarah Hannon, Representative Dave Tallarico, Representative Ivy Sponholz, Representative Sarah Rasmussen, Vice Chair Representative Greyer Hopkins, Co-Chair Representative John Lincoln, and myself, Representative Tarr. Please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to do business. Assisting us today is our recording secretary, Ms. Debbie Tillinghast, and our LIO moderator, Eric Heimberger. Is that right? Heimbigner. Okay, I'll get that. Thank you so much to both of you for your assistance. We really appreciate it. If we could please ask folks to silence their cell phones as we get started, we'd appreciate that. Today, we have a few items on our agenda. We're going to consider governor's appointees to the Board of Game, to the Big Game, and to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. The individual for the Board of Game is Mr. Jerry Burnett. He's here in person with us. And then his confirmation hearing will be followed by the consideration of two of the appointees to the Big Game Commercial Services Board, Mr. Jason Bunch and Mr. Tom Harris. And so the confirmation hearing for Big Game Commercial Services Board appointee Cash Joyce will be considered at a later date. That individual, unfortunately, was not available today. So we'll go ahead. We'll do Mr. Burnett first and then the public testimony. And then for anyone listening in that's interested, we'll do the two individuals for the Big Game Commercial Services Board and then the public testimony for them following, since they're two different items. Mr. Burnett, would you please join us? And if you would just state your name for the record and then your opening statement. I think all members should have at least your resume and letters of support that we've received on your behalf. So we've shared those with committee members as well as the application. So thank you.
Co-chairs Tarr and Lincoln and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jerry Burnett. I was appointed to the Board of Game by Governor Dunleavy on February 22nd, and I'm asking for your positive consideration for my confirmation. In past years, I've had the pleasure of working with many of you in my role as a member of the executive branch. Today, I want to tell you about myself and why I will be a good member of the Board of Game. I grew up in rural western Washington State, hunted and fished with my father and five brothers, starting at an early age. Got my first fishing pole when I was four, and my mother taught me how to shoot and how to respect firearms starting at age six. I had my first gun at age 10. I've carried on a tradition of hunting and fishing, and you will find moose, caribou, and deer antlers displayed at our home, along with a variety of African plains game, and usually find venison, moose, sometimes caribou, bison, and elk in the freezer, along with the salmon, halibut, lingcod, and spot prawns. My wife and I and our oldest son and I enjoy hunting together. We all like eating wild game, and we all hope to have a chance to hunt with our grandchildren in the future. Since moving to Juneau in 1981, I've worked as a number of jobs, including as a real estate broker, a business instructor at UAS, charter boat captain, 12 years as staff at the Alaska Legislature, and 15 years as the director or deputy commissioner for the Murkowski, Palin, Parnell, and Walker administrations. I retired as a deputy commissioner of the Department of Revenue in December of 2017. My wife and I have a charter boat business doing multi-day overnight fishing charters in northern southeast Alaska on our 58-foot boat. Starting in the 1990s, I became involved with the Alaska Outdoor Council and served on the board as the southeast vice president starting in 2000 and as the Alaska Outdoor Council president in 2002 and 2003. Served many years on the board of directors of Territorial Sportsmen and Juneau, including 4 years as the president. Many of you have attended our joint TSIAOC fundraising banquet here in Juneau. Over the past 20 years, I have been deeply involved in the issues which are near and dear to hunters and anglers in Alaska. I have authored and co-authored comments and proposals to the Board of Fish and Board of Game, sometimes working through the local Fish and Game Advisory Committee process. I've authored and co-authored comments on federal and state legislation and proposed regulations concerning access to federal lands, the state's right to manage its resources, and on a variety of land use proposals. In my previous state positions, I've served on a number of boards, and so I go into this with appreciation of the process of hearing and considering public comment and testimony before making decisions and adopting regulations. Section 8 of the Alaska Constitution provides in part, wherever occurring in their natural state, fish, wildlife, and waters are reserved to the people for common use, and that fish, forests, wildlife, grasslands, and all other replenishable resources belonging to the state shall be utilized, developed, and maintained on the sustained yield principle subject to preferences among beneficial uses. In accordance with the statutory framework developed by the legislature and codified in Title 16, it is the role of Board of Game to consider the science developed by the Department of Fish and Game and the input from the public to set regulations, seasons, and bag limits that will ensure that Alaska's wildlife resources are utilized on the sustained yield principle. I believe that I'm well qualified to be a part of that process as a member of the Board of Game. Thank you. Be happy to respond to any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett. Really appreciate the opening introduction. Please let the record reflect that Representative Tuck joined us at about 1:25. Thank you. And apologies that I didn't say this before you started, but I just wanted to remind folks for just keeping in mind, this particular appointment is a three-year appointment. The board consists, and this is just the description of the board consists of seven members appointed by the governor, appointed on the basis of interest in public affairs, good judgment, knowledge, and the ability in the field of action of the board, and with a view to providing diversity of interests and points of view in the membership. Members shall be residents of the state, appointed without regard to political affiliation or geographic location of residence. Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game is not a member, but serves as an ex officio secretary. So that's just a little bit for the Board of Game role that you will be fulfilling.
And Madam Chair, if I could, I was appointed on February 22nd to a term that's currently vacant, so my term will be up on June 30th, 2021, not the full three-year term.
Great. Thank you for that. And current members not up at this time include Stanley Hoffman, who's a public member from Bethel, Thomas Lamal, a public member from Fairbanks, Karen Linnell, a public member from Glen Allen, and Ted Spraker, public member from Soldotna, Nathan Turner from Nenana, and Lawrence Van Dale from Kodiak. So just if you're interested in who's currently there and where they're from. Mm-hmm. Any questions for the nominee? Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burnett, for being with us through the chair. So this is sort of on a global, bigger picture of what do you think about the state's concessions guide program or the potential development of such to perhaps generate more revenue out of commercial guides in Alaska?
Through the chair to Representative Hannon, I've not taken a lot of time to look at that at this point. Guiding is an important business in Alaska as well as many other places, and I understand, you know, the Forest Service does guide concessions on national forest lands, and other federal agencies do. The state doesn't. I don't really, you know, without hearing more about it, seeing the public testimony and how it would affect current uses of the land, I don't want to make a comment on the specifics.
Follow up?
Do you see the potential for conflicts between non-commercial hunters and commercial hunters coming out of it, or it's just an area you haven't looked at all?
Through the chair to Representative Hannon, there's always a potential for conflict between guided and unguided hunters on public lands. So, but I think it's been well managed in other parts of the world, so I really not going to, I don't know enough about what would happen here in Alaska.
Great. Thank you.
I have a question. Just wanted to ask you sort of about the sort of the suggestion that the membership should be diverse, and what does that mean to you in terms of what viewpoints of Alaskans should be represented on the Board of Game? Consumptive, non-consumptive, tourists, resident, non-resident? How do you sort of the balance should be?
Madam Chair, I think everyone on the Board of Game is a, at this point, is probably a consumptive user at one level or another, but we're all non-consumptive users. My wife and I are quite involved in the tourist industry in Southeast Alaska. The people who go out on our boat, they catch fish consumptively, but they love watching bears on shore and taking pictures of whales and et cetera. So I think we all do. And so I think it's a matter of getting a diversity of people, you know, from different parts of the state with different interests and different friends, different backgrounds. So, you know, I don't think you need someone that's dedicated to any specific use.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think you probably are unique. I know we have folks probably with guiding backgrounds on the board right now, but not so much the kind of tourist connection mm-hmm. that you might bring. So that is a little unique. Please let the record reflect that Representative Rauscher has joined us at 1:33 p.m. Any other questions for Mr. Burnett?
I have a question.
Co-Chair Lincoln.
Thank you for being with us today. I'm just curious what you predict to be the top two or three conflicts you'd expect to take on the board.
Chair Representative Lincoln, the conflicts typically, as I've seen in the past and as I expect, are conflicts between local residents and non-local residents for hunting in an area, and conflicts between non-resident and resident. You know, so local and non-local people in Alaska and resident and non-resident allocations. So it's usually an allocation where the big issues are. I know at this board meeting, we have proposal, the upcoming board meeting, which starts on Wednesday, Thursday. We have a proposal to give more brown bear permits to residents and fewer to non-residents on Kodiak Island. That's going to create a lot of controversy. And again, there's controversy between, there are people who don't believe that the Department of Fish and Game counts moose well in some areas. So, and that creates an issue. So.
Any follow-up?
Yeah, I guess with regards to the local, non-local, resident, non-resident, could you just describe your perspective on, do you have a general sort of position on that, or is your point of view, does it vary from others on the board already?
To the chair, to Representative Mr. Co-Chair Lincoln, I think members of the board have a variety of opinions, and I'm not sure what they all are, so I can't say whether they agree or disagree. Generally speaking, when we're talking about animals that are used for meat, my preference is, or my look at this would tend to favor local consumptive, using it for meat at the local level. And that's where it would start from, and then working back from there. But you still have to understand that there's important commercial interests here, and there's important other interests, and there's the interests of private property owners and how those affect this too. So.
Anything else? Any other questions? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you mentioned one, and that is local residents versus non-residents on the allocations. How does the guide concessions, what role does that play in that?
To the chair, to Representative Tuck, it's going to depend on each situation, because in some cases, game is less important as a food source. It's more important as a commercial. In some places, there's access issues where a guy, it's not practical for local people to hunt. It's not economical. Let's put it that way. And it may be more economical. So I think you have to look at each population and each location to answer that question.
Any follow-up?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. I have a question just related to the budget for fish and game. And, of course, your job on the board would be the allocation, but we need to, on our side of things, do a good job having an adequate staffing for research and population count, survey work. How do you see your role in making sure we kind of do each of those responsibilities well?
Well, Madam Chair, most of the budget for wildlife management is license fees and federal matching funds, and that's true for sport fish and for hunting. For wildlife. So, over the past several years, I was on the board of Territorial Sportsmen and working with Alaska. outdoor council that there was legislation that went through, which was very much supported by the group, to increase hunting license fees and fishing license fees, which is to for that very purpose, to make sure that we were ensuring adequate funding for that.
It was his bill.
Yes, I know.
Representative Tallarico's bill.
And I know there's people in the room who worked on that. So I think our role is to be, you know, good advocates for the department in all cases.
Thank you. Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Mr. Burnett. I was wondering, what do you know about the domestic sheep, wild sheep, cow sheep, goats, all that other, the what's going on there? What do you know and understand about that? And then how do you perceive it?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I assume what you're talking about is diseases that have been either brought in from outside or have gone from populations of domestic sheep or goats to wild.
Yes, the MOI virus there.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a matter of the department working with the state veterinarian on bringing this in. And I know a little bit about it. I don't know which populations specifically have been affected and how the best, you know, management processes are, but I'm aware of it, and I think it's certainly a concern. One of the concerns that is coming to the board at this next meeting has to do with mule deer and white-tailed deer coming into Alaska and having a continuous open season for mule deer and white-tailed deer, and making sure that the carcasses are the proposal is to make sure that the carcasses are turned into the department so that they can keep track of these things. So I'm aware of these issues. I'm not specific on how to deal with them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I just want to add as a comment a follow-up to that. One thing that I've really appreciated about what's happened over the last couple of years on this particular issue is, you know, there was a working group formed to engage stakeholders, a thoughtful process, worked with the veterinarians from the department to do testing, so it wasn't a rush to judgment. And then, in fact, what we found through that is that the transmission was not from the domestic sheep and goats, you know, for the folks that are trying to do milk and other agricultural products, but instead probably endemic to our populations because there was such significant geographic separation between some of the incidences. There's just no way that was exposure from that. So I just hope that's been informative for you if there is an incident or, you know, issue, because, right, with changing ranges for some of these animals and just they don't know the political boundaries, so they're just going to wander right in. Mm-hmm. We're going to have more challenges like this, and I just hope that's the process that can be followed, because I know for the farmers on that side of it, there was significant concern. Of course, you've invested a lot in a business, and then, you know, if all of a sudden it's going to shut down your business, we just, you know, want to make sure we don't do it for the wrong reason. So I just want to put a plug in for this process they used, and I hope that's something that will inform you in future situations. Any other questions? Representative Hannon.
Thank you. I'm going to just ask one more question about the board's meeting this week, mm-hmm. and then when does it meet again?
Through the chair to Representative Hannon, the meeting is, there's a meeting from the 14th to the 19th of the Board of Game. There's a joint meeting of the Board of Fish and Game that starts on the 21st and goes through the next weekend. And then the meetings for next year have not been set, but typically the regular scheduled meetings are held in January and March, and there's two a year, and then there might be special meetings because of something that comes up during the rest of the year. But generally the meetings are winter, early spring meetings.
Thank you. I ask because I note that in the fact sheet we got on the board, there will be two more vacancies on this board, and it cites a statute, so their names should be to us by April 1st, because
right.
Their terms expire in June. So mm-hmm. He should not be the only Board of Game nominee that we see before us this session. But thank you.
Thank you for noticing that. I had not myself. Appreciate that. Anything else? Oh, pardon me, Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for being here today, Mr. Burnett. I think the advisory committee, in my opinion, the advisory committee process is pretty important. It's really important in the interior. The Upper Nenana and the Minto Nenana Advisory Committee, Fairbanks and Delta are four that I think of that are incredibly active. And I think you've had some participation here in Southeast Alaska. I'm not sure how active they are. I would imagine they're just as active as the mm-hmm. interior. Do you see a lot of value in that process with the advisory committees?
Through the chair, Representative Tallarico, yes. There's 84 advisory committees, and that's really how you get, you know, every proposal that comes to the Board of Game goes back to them, comes back through, and they have an opportunity. And it's really the essential part of the essential public process.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Of course. No follow-up then.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Co-Chair Lincoln.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious about what your thoughts are on predator control or other species control, if populations are getting sort of out of balance.
Through the chair, Representative Lincoln, clearly there's a current intensive management law in Alaska that guides the board and the department in how they do predator control. You know, I think the allocation for most game species that people eat, you know, the primary use of that is food for human consumption, and you may need to, you know, there's a conflict between humans and other predators. The humans have to win. So you're going to have to do predator control at some time in some areas. Otherwise, you're going to lose your prey populations. So I'm supportive of doing it. You know, I talked to Chair Tarr earlier about this very issue and about the concerns of making sure that it's done in a way that doesn't bring too much public focus outside, because it can be a very politically charged thing for some people, even though it's a practically necessary thing in many cases.
Any follow up?
No, thank you. Just, I guess in Northwest Arctic, at least, it's not strictly just about predator control. I mean, we have seen an uptick in bear and wolf populations, and not a whole lot of interest from a lot of locals in harvesting them, mm-hmm. Impacting caribou and moose. But even there's been a big spike in the beaver population around the Selawik, and it's impacting fish spawning habitat and beaver more and more found moving northwest up into the Noatak and heading towards Kivalina, areas that they've been seen occasionally, but it's much more frequently. So I think the issue of population control isn't limited necessarily to just predators, but I guess the idea is the same.
Okay.
I think we talked about sea otters in that regard.
Yes,
because it's a little bit different there, but right, similar in the predation on our shellfish, mm-hmm. and we like to eat those shellfish, right? Mm-hmm. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. On the area wolf predator controls, I know that biologists say the best time to do that is in the springtime. But I also know that Fish and Game contracts that out, and I know the contractors would prefer to hunt the wolves in the fall because their coats are nice and thick. Where do you stand on that?
To the chair, to Representative Tuck, I think, you know, you have to understand the purpose of this and also the cost and values. So you may have to do it in the fall because the coats are more valuable, and so that people who harvest them can get some value out of them. On the other hand, you want to do it in the most efficient way. So it's really, that's more of a department question than an allocative question or a use question as far, you know, to me.
And if I may, Madam Chair?
Of course.
The advisory, doesn't this also determine, in other words, your position won't have any say in the predator control?
To the chair, I didn't say we wouldn't have any say. I think it really does come down to some decisions that have to be made, which are more a matter of, for that particular question you ask, more a matter of the commercial interest in the and what can work with the department and what they need to do.
So, if I may, Madam mm-hmm. Chair, so what I'm hearing is it all depends on the commercial interests versus what the biologists are recommending. And the reason why I mention that, because I know that if we take the wolves in the fall, there's a chance that they can recover, and so you end up with a more costly program of trying to have to do it again in the springtime.
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, I didn't, if I indicated it was all on the commercial interest, I didn't intend to, but I do believe there may need to be a balance in the terms of cost and efficiency. So if the science says that you have to do it in the spring, then your cost is going to be cheaper to do it that way, even if, you know, the people doing the harvest might do better. So it's something without the specifics of it, I couldn't answer the question.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And so I'm going to go back to the allocations question once again that Representative Lincoln brought up, and that is, can you give us an example, because you were talking about it all depends on the local residents versus non-residents, and then also looking at access issues and how it might be too costly, I thought you said for residents to be able to get in here. Can you give us an example of that?
Through the chair to Representative Tuck, and I'm not talking about all, but when you're talking about something that's used primarily as a food source, if you have to fly in or hire people to fly you in to hunt something, then it's not necessarily a practical, economical way to harvest meat for the table. So you may conduct a trophy hunt in an area because it's, and allocate it to that because it's more cost effective. It's not a cost effective food source for local people.
And if I may, Madam Chair, so in the market, determine that, because I would think that there are Alaska residents that enjoy the meat as well as do it for fun and adventure and wouldn't mind going out to some of those places, even though it might cost a little bit more than it would be buying a steak off the shelf.
Through the chair to Representative Tuck, I absolutely agree with you on that.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Representative Rasmussen is next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a quick, brief question. Why do you want to serve on the Board of Game?
Through the chair to Representative Rasmussen, I've been interested in these issues all my life. In fact, starting when I was very small, and have been active with this. And I retired from state government in 2017. I want to continue to have some level of involvement with public service in Alaska. And I thought this would be a good place to use my knowledge and skills and in this area.
Thank you.
The follow-up, pardon me. Okay, any other questions?
I was just going to say, to Representative Tuck's question on locals getting out, I've shot some pretty expensive geese in our region. flown into some hot spots, but.
Okay. Well, if we don't have any other questions, I just wanted to share that I got to see a coyote yesterday. That was my big excitement. So there you go. No, I didn't. No, it was by car. It was by car. It was in the car as I was down by Portage, though. So it was
that was non-consumptive then. Method?
Yeah, that was my non-consumptive use yesterday. but I hadn't got to share that with anyone. So thank you for letting me share that. It was so exciting. So we'll go to the public testimony now. We have two individuals who are online, and so if you don't mind, Mr. Somerville, if I go to them first, since they're on the phone, we'll go to Sam Rohrer from the Alaska Professional Hunters Association out of Kodiak.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Chair Tarr. I appreciate this is Sam Rohrer with Alaska Professional Hunters Association, from the Kodiak Leo, and I appreciate this opportunity to testify.
Please give us your testimony.
Okay. The Alaska Professional Hunters Association supports the appointment of Mr. Jerry Burnett to the Alaska Board of Game. As you just heard in his, as he spoke before, he has a long history of being involved in fish and wildlife issues in the state, particularly at the local Fish and Game Advisory Committee level, which we appreciate. He's a lifelong hunter and fisherman, and he's committed to ensuring that everyday Alaskans continue to have access to our fish and game resources that all of us hold so dear. I also thought it was interesting, Mr. Burnett has worked in a wide variety of different industries, and I would certainly expect that this experience would be a positive influence on his work on the Board of Game. So the APHA respectfully asks that you support the appointment of Mr. Burnett to the Board of Game, and we appreciate your consideration. And I'm available if you have any questions for me. Thank you.
Very good. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? I have one, Mr. Rohr. There was a Kodiak issue that was brought up, and now I'm forgetting. That for the upcoming meeting, and just this was gonna. It sounds like it's gonna be about the brown bear permits, local versus non-local. Just using that as an example, can you just, give us your take on it and how his role on the board will address that?
Thank you, Representative Tarr. That's a great question. I do intend on being at the Board of Game meetings for the entire time. And, yes, as you mentioned, there's several proposals that, from my point of view, will have a hugely negative effect on our community, both on the economic activity for the community and also personally for myself as a small business owner and a hunting guide. When the APHA decides, though, to put our support behind an appointee, we don't necessarily look at how they'll vote on specific issues. We support appointees who we think are open-minded, who will listen to all sides, who will be fair, and who will just approach the process with an open mind, and that's how we feel that Mr. Burnett will approach the issue. So, I don't know how he's going to vote on the issues that are important to me, but I am confident that he'll listen to what folks like myself have to say and hopefully have a fair mind.
Excellent. Really appreciate that. Any other comments or questions for the testifier? Okay, well, with that, thank you, Mr. Rohr. Again, really appreciate you taking the time to go into the LAO and be a part of this process. Next, we'll go to Mark Richards from Resident Hunters of Alaska from Fairbanks.
Good afternoon, Chair Tarr and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska, and I'm happy to be before you today representing some 2,000 Alaskans across the state who support a resident hunting priority. Resident Hunters of Alaska supports the appointment of Jerry Burnett to the Alaska Board of Game. Last week, myself and our board had the chance to meet with Jerry there in Juneau, as I say in our letter, to find more about his background, and we came away very impressed with his experience overall, his whole lifetime experience, the bat as a hunter, his involvement over the years with hunting organizations and the Board of Game and Advisory Committee process. I think it's evident in his testimony today that he's well-versed already on the proposals that will be before him this week at the Board of Game. He's done his research, and we really respect that. And we believe he'll be an asset to the board and represent Southeast Alaska well. I did want to mention something, Chairman Tarr, regarding the guide concession program that your committee might not be aware of. During the first Senate Finance Committee hearings before the House was formed, the DNR gave their presentation on the budget, and one of the highlights of that was that $2.1 million in the Federal Receipt Authority designated for the startup of the proposed guide concession program did not come through. So effectively, that program is DOA, and we would like the Big Game Commercial Services Board and the Board of Game to deal with those issues that are under their authority. Anyway, that's all I have, Chairman Tarr. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Really appreciate you calling in. Do we have any questions for the testifier? Okay, well, thank you so much for your testimony. I see you're signed up for other folks. We're going to get to them here in just a little bit. And then here in the room, Mr. Somerville, if you would like to join us at the table. And I know you know the drill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, my name's Ron Somerville. I live here in Juneau. And pleasure to once again sit in front of the committee. A lot of different members, and I appreciate that. I'm here on behalf of the Territorial Sportsmen, local outdoor sportsmen's group. It's been in existence, one of the longest living organizations in the state. And we just sponsored our 74th annual Golden Horse Salmon Derby, of which Jerry has been a co-chair in the past, has sponsored $1.7 million in local high school scholarships through its tenure. And I say that because Jerry's been interested in participating in these types of events that have helped the local communities. certainly, Territorial Sportsman supports his nomination to the Board of Game. I served on the Board of Game myself. I've worked for the legislature. I had 24 years with the Department of Fish and Game. There's one thing that hasn't been stressed, which I think is important, and that is Jerry's had a lot of experience in dealing with the legislature as a staff member, as a member of the administration. And that is important in dealing with other members of the board. They sometimes, and I'll say it, no disrespect, is sometimes statutes aren't written perfectly. And you're interpreting them, and the board goes through the process trying to figure out what the legislature is trying to do or what you want them to do. And I think Jerry's going to have a perspective that's going to be different from some of the other board members. He's going to be able to say, well, maybe this sort of thing is what sponsored this type of action from the legislature. I went through that process to some extent, and I think it helped. And it also helped me to deal with the other board members. So I think that's something you should look at as a real plus here, having somebody like Jerry serving on the board. Jerry's also a strong states' rights advocate, but I think like other people have stated, he's going to be a fair arbiter when it comes to the allocation issues. Certainly supporting the resident, but also supporting the business opportunities for the non-resident. Certainly supporting local people having first shot at getting their meat supplies and things like that. We've all done that in the past. So anyway, I don't want to go on. I'm not going to repeat everything that's been said. I just want to say that we strongly support and hope that you'll support his nomination to the Board of Game.
Thank you, Mr. Somerville. Are there any questions for the testifier? Okay, seeing none, we appreciate your testimony. I do not have any other individuals here signed up online, but is there anyone else here in the room that wishes to testify? Okay, then I will go ahead and close the public testimony for Mr. Burnett. And I believe that my co-chair has a statement for me. For the Jerry Burnett one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Resources Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee, Jerry Burnett, to the Board of Game and recommends that his name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease to sign that paperwork. Confirmation hearings. The two individuals we're going to hear from next are Jason Bunch and Tom Harris. These are both individuals appointed to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. And as we get started, I'll just do the same thing here, but when I meant to do it, and just say quickly, the terms for the Big Game Commercial Services Board are 4 years, and the description of the board, it consists of 9 members, 8 are appointed by the governor, 2 members who are licensed registered guide outfitters, 2 members who are licensed transporters, one member of the Board of Game chosen by the Board of Game and who does not hold a guide or transport license, two members who represent private landholders affected by guided hunting or transportation activities and services and do not hold a license under this board, and then two public members. The function, the board licenses and regulates the activities of providers of commercial services to big game hunters in the interest of the state's wildlife resources. And their meetings at least twice annually. So just a little bit of that background. So and let's just go ahead and have Mr. Bunch go first. And it looks like he's going to be online from Kodiak. And Mr. Bunch, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourselves. Of course, we have your paperwork that you submitted, but anything you want us to know about you and which particular position you will be fulfilling on the board?
Sure. Co-chairs Lincoln and Tara, members of the committee, thank you for your time to hear from the recent appointees for the Big Game Commercial Services Board. For the record, my name is Jason Bunch. I'm a retired helicopter rescue swimmer for the U.S. Coast Guard, where I served Alaskans for 13 of my 20 years of service. I've been a resident of Alaska and Kodiak for 21 years. My wife and I have two boys and are proud to call Kodiak, Alaska our home. I've served on the Big Game Commercial Services Board for the last year. This is a reappointment since I was originally appointed to fulfill Mr. Kelly Vrim's term in the registered guide seat. In the last year, we have been very successful as a board. We have worked diligently with its licensees to eliminate a $1 million deficit incurred during the last sunset. We completed a total rewrite of the registered guide outfitter licensing exam, which includes 150 question tests. We've worked with multiple land managers, state troopers, and licensees to draft and adopt various position statements to clarify statutes and regulations pertaining to guiding. We've reviewed multiple statutes and regs that may need adjusted due to trends within the industry. And we continue to review those regulations to further clarify and improve efficiencies. And finally, the board continues to review violations from the investigative process, which require board action. During my tenure in the Coast Guard, I was fortunate to be a part of a very professional group who served the maritime environment. I would like to continue to serve Alaskans in that capacity that promotes the guide industry as a respected and professional occupation. Thank you for hearing my testimony today.
Thank you for your excellent introduction. Do we have any questions for Mr. Bunch? Representative Tuck.
Just a quick statement. I'm looking through his work experience, looking at his duties underneath the Coast Guard, and very impressive duties that, and performances as well as awards that he's received. So I just want to thank Mr. Bunch for his service in the Coast Guard here in Alaska.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. I share that appreciation. I'm sure everyone here does. Any other questions? Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Bunch, for being online. And you will probably know a lot more about this issue than I do as a freshman lawmaker. But my understanding is that we have room to improve and potentially have some economic return from having a concessions program for our commercial guides in Alaska. Can you give me some thoughts on that and how Alaska could continue to support a commercial hunting industry and perhaps have a economic return that is beneficial to the state directly in resources and revenues?
Sure. Thank you for that question through the chair. I support a concession program for big game guiding in Alaska. I am a refuge permit holder as well as a state DNR permit holder. And so I understand the differences between the two. I also have worked quite in depth with the Forest Service on some of the policies that they've been recently reviewing for their concessionaires. And so in gaining that knowledge, along with the experience that I have with my own land use permits, I would support a DNR concession program. If you would like me to follow up with a letter to each of you explaining kind of the variables of a DNR concession program and the benefits, pros and cons, I would be happy to do that.
Is that something?
Thank you. I would much appreciate education on this issue.
And so, Mr. Bunch, if you have anything you want to send, feel free to send it through our office, and we can share that with all committee members. I know we had a bill on this particular topic in 2013, and it's been an ongoing conversation. And so, yeah, I think any information for all of us to understand more would be great.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for paying attention to what's going on in our state and some of the requests that the residents and commercial operators have some of the questions that they have and some of the things that they need.
Any other questions for Mr. Bunch? Okay. Well, it's too bad. I think you got out of the Coast Guard just before a bunch of money is going to be spent here in Alaska having many improved facilities around the state. So I bet you wish that had happened before you were before you were done. Well, if there aren't any other questions from committee members, we do have a couple of individuals that would like to testify. So we will go first to Mr. Rohrer. Again, Mr. Rohrer from Kodiak, if you're available.
I am. Again, thank you, Chairman's co-chairs Lincoln and Tarr. I appreciate this opportunity to testify. Again, for the record, my name is Sam Rohrer. I'm the president of the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. We strongly recommend that Jason Bunch be reconfirmed to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. As you know, and as he previously testified, Mr. Bunch was previously appointed to the board last year to fill out the remainder of a vacant term. Since that appointment, Mr. Bunch has quickly come up to speed on all board functions and processes. He's committed to the success of the board, and he has worked tirelessly on its behalf. Mr. Bunch brings extensive knowledge of the guiding industry to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. In the few areas that he doesn't have personal knowledge, he's quick to seek input from others, which I appreciate. Mr. Bunch is approachable, he's knowledgeable, and he's extremely hardworking. He's a great asset to the board, the division, and the state of Alaska. And I would just reiterate, you will not find a harder worker than Mr. Bunch, or none. Whatever tasks he takes on that he commits to doing, he commits to doing with excellence. His work on the board won't be any different. So for these reasons, we respectfully ask that you confirm Mr. Bunch's reappointment to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. Thanks for your consideration, and again, available for any questions.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that testimony. Do we have any questions for Mr. Rohrer? Okay, thank you. We're all set with you then. Mr. Richards from Resident Hunters of Alaska and Fairbanks. Mr. Richards?
Good afternoon again, Chairman Tarr and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska. I'm here today representing some 2,000 Alaskans from across the state who support a resident hunting priority. Resident Hunters of Alaska wants to express our strong support for Jason Bunch to be reappointed for guidance. He's on the Big Game Commercial Services Board. I've got to know Mr. Bunch over his year of service as I attend all of the Big Game Commercial Services Board meetings. And while we are often at odds on our differences as far as resident hunting versus commercial hunting, I can find nobody better qualified to carry on the professionalism that he has from the Coast Guard to serve on this board. He's a great asset to the board, and I can't. It's ironic, but I'll just ditto what Sam Rohrer said. So, in closing, we forward his name on, and we offer our strong support. Thank you.
Thank you. It's also really nice to hear from folks that have disagreements, but speak to the individual's professionalism and hard work. That's a very good compliment to this individual, so I appreciate your testimony. I don't have anyone else signed up online, but just want to make sure there's not anyone, and then anyone here in the room that was just to testify for Mr. Bunch. Okay, then we will go ahead and move on to our other appointee for the Big Game Commercial Services Board. This is Mr. Tom Harris. I think he is joining us from Anchorage.
Representatives, my name is Alfred Thomas Harris. I'm a candidate designee for the landowner's seat of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. I'm a territorial Alaskan-born, Alaska native, in Alaska's deep south, the community of Saxman, Alaska. I'm a descendant of the Tongass tribe as well as a descendant of Richard Harris, who is co-founder of the city of Juneau with Joe Juneau. I have the honor and privilege of serving as CEO of Kinnikotinu and Angsk Village Corporation for the Kinnik-Wasilla area, whose lands begin at the headwaters of the Susitna and extend down to southern Cook Inlet. I also serve as a director for Cape Fox Corporation, the Angsa Village Corporation for the Saxman community near Ketchikan. I've also served as past president of Alaska Village Initiatives and past executive management for three other Angsa Village corporations whose land holdings exceed 800,000 acres in the Sealaska, Doyon, and Cook Inlet region. In my service as past president of Alaska Village Initiatives, we pursued economic development goals of food security and energy security. The goal of the Community Enterprise Development Corporation, which was federally created, is to work to achieve sustainability in rural communities. We've been watching as the wildlife resources for Alaska have diminished to the point where in 2001 it was documented that more wildlife was harvested within 50 miles of Washington, D.C. than was harvested in Alaska. Our goal is to turn that around by use of federal funds that have been made available to every other state in the nation at a rate much higher than what Alaska sees. We see Alaska's rural communities and the commercial guiding industry suffering as a result of a depleted resource that federal resources exist to help restore. It is our goal to work as completing interests, not competing interests, for the benefit of all. And as U.S. citizens and Alaska citizens, no citizens have more access to more wildlife habitat than we do. Yet no resource or habitat in America has been so depleted or deprived of appropriate federal funds to restore these. We look at partnering with the guiding industry and local communities to help restore these wildlife opportunities. And I'll pause now for questions, and I have submitted a report for the committee's review. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. We really appreciate your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, Mr. Harris. You speak about Alaska slipping away and our wildlife. You go on citing that the relationship between the private landowners, state of Alaska, and big game guiding industry are having an effect on that. And you go over, can you go over that to get a better understanding of how those three will work in concession for a more productive effort?
At this moment, through the chair, Representative, the state of Alaska is we may be the only state in the nation that does not have a formal recognition of the private landowner as a critical partner in completing interest in the restoration of wildlife resources. The national budget is in excess of $5 billion annually, funds dedicated for the private landowner to the private landowner for the purpose of restoring wildlife habitat. We documented through 2008 that Alaska received 0.1% of the national average of those funds. During that same period of time, we saw the wildlife harvest for the Kenai Peninsula, as an example, during the Abbott administration, ranged from 700 to 2,400 moose. By 2012, that harvest dropped to 66 moose. And our goal here is to gather those funds in through a process called tribal conservation districts. It's a federally recognized and federally acknowledged relationship with the federal government to provide funding for this purpose, for the restoration of resources. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And Mr. Harris, I just want to understand that a little bit better. You're talking about that more in the context of your professional work at the Native Corporation, and so that's something, or I just wanted to understand the connection to the board, because I don't think the board itself would be seeking federal funds. Is that right?
Yes, in part. Tribal conservation districts are They're throughout the lower 48, been around for 40 years. It's only recently that they come to Alaska. We now have 23 recognized tribal conservation districts in Alaska. There's more to follow. But ideally, they operate in partnership with the state as completing interests, not competing interests. And in other states, they work in hand-in-hand with the Department of Fish and Game and Wildlife Habitats to identify areas of concern, both on private lands and off private lands. As an example, in several states, restoration of wildlife streams are occurring with in situ moist air incubation. Currently, that system is functioning in Washington, Oregon, California, Idaho, even in New Zealand, but it's not functioning in any significant degree here in Alaska. And that system has been identified as critical in the restoration of salmon species in rivers.
Okay, that part makes sense to me, but I'm still, I guess, not connecting it to the board's role in allocation and how those two things are connected. And I apologize if I'm just missing it.
No worries. We either get into the pie baking business. Well, we don't. We have to create more wildlife habitat, and have that habitat abundant. Currently, Alaska is suffering from a depleted resource, and that depleted resource means that we've got to manage the habitat. It's not enough to manage counts. If our commercial guiding services are going to have anything to account for to bring their customers to, someone has to take responsibility for making sure that that habitat is abundant. We do not have, as private landowners, the authority to do that on public lands, nor do we necessarily need it. There are 49 examples in the lower 49 states of wildlife management programs where the private landowner works to create wildlife abundant not only for themselves, but sufficient to welcome the industry. In the lower 48, private landowners are a net exporter of wildlife to public lands because of the abundance that they produce.
Okay. I just was going to say, in your future comments, it's a little bit hard to hear you. I don't know if you can just speak a little bit more loudly or if it's a speakerphone, perhaps pick up the handset. Sometimes doesn't come through as well. Last question about that, because I had been at an invasive species conference this fall where I think it was Tyonek was talking about they have done a tribal conservation district, so I had some familiarity with that, but I guess you're seeing the connection because in terms of being able to, you know, have a guiding industry or, you know, be able to accommodate both resident, non-resident, you're just seeing this connection between public land, private land, needing to be strengthened so that the habitat piece of it is more well, well represented or well understood and worked on.
Very good. I'm told I have a soft voice, so I will speak up. I was the individual who assisted in the creation of the Tribal Conservation District at Tyonek. It was the first in the state. I was educated in Texas and worked on the farms and ranches in Texas and New Mexico and had a great appreciation for the wildlife industry there in the state of Texas. And as an example, it's a $13 billion a year industry. At that rate, we would welcome the opportunity for concessions because concessions means we're actually producing resources. And we don't see this as ownership of wildlife from the private landowner's sake. Much more ownership of the wildlife habitat that benefits wildlife production. In Tyonek, we were successful in restoring the moose population. We had a very large bear population there that was outnumbering the moose 8-1, and in a very short period of time, we were able to turn that around thanks to a brief program that was assisted by the Department of Fish and Game. And that allowed us to restore that moose population and get that predator-pit relationship back in line. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Harris. I have a question regarding, I am familiar with hunting in Pennsylvania, New York, and Virginia, all states with really high harvest rates of deer, but almost all the hunting is on private land, and of course here in Alaska, most Alaskans hunt on public land. So in the states that are receiving and using that federal money for private habitat enhancement, does it restrict access? So would it, could a private landholder who's receiving that still restrict who hunts on their land? Most of Alaska, people don't have that as a major restriction to places they may hunt. It's usually real clear where it's corporation-held land in your region and clearly posted, but other private landowners don't have large swaths of it. So has that been an element of why Alaska has not pursued that habitat enhancement money, that it restricts access to people's use of the lands?
Through the chair, you raise the valid questions that need to be answered and understood by all parties. You mentioned the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's harvest rate per acre is one of those six states in the nation whose harvest rate currently is 100 times more per acre than Alaska's. Many will say that's an unfair comparison as a result of us being so big and them having so many deer. But it wasn't 40 years ago where there was very little deer there. It was with the partnership with the private landowner where the private landowner was encouraged to create green zones, effectively dramatically increasing the wildlife resource through habitat management, not necessarily wildlife management. The state still controls wildlife management, but it also respects private landowner, and this is that relationship, that competing interest relationship in which we recognize the benefit that the private landowner rewards them. And that's not an unfair or unjust reward. Ideally, you know, we will benefit all of the parties, inclusive of the landowners and the guides and the visiting hunters. At this moment in time, as a state, we are struck with the challenge of how to deal with a $1.6 billion or $1.4 billion budget resource shortfall. We have the opportunity to grow our wildlife resource to the point where that moose in a local village, when the AC store is selling meat at $27 a pound, that moose is worth $10,000 to a local family to sustain them. But it's also worth growing more to the point where we can restore that population to its traditional resource. Just imagine if we went from 66 to 700 moose or 2,400 moose in the Kenai, and we did that in other areas. I'm the past CEO of Yaktekwan. We documented there that the moose harvest traditionally was as high as 650 moose a year. Currently, it's 25 moose or something in that order. This is something that Tyonek has been able to achieve. We feel it can be achieved in virtually any other area of the state where we take on the best practices that have been successful in managing and promoting wildlife in other areas.
Follow-up from Representative Hannon.
Does Tyonek Village Corporation allow non-shareholders to hunt their lands? And if so, what's their fee structure for non-shareholders to hunt their lands?
While we were, for the record, through the chair, while I was past president of Alaska Village Initiatives, we established the Tribal Conservation District there. While I was CEO there, while we were dealing with the issue of bears running through the village and threatening villagers, we established a program with the Department of Fish and Game that allowed us to welcome wounded warriors. And wounded warriors were brought in to assist in the restoration of creating effectively a green zone around the village to not only protect the village from aggressive bears, but also create a green zone so that moose calves could survive. That was a guided, fully guided program that was in full compliance with state regulations, and that program was used to help sustain those. In every, since we have not established in Alaska yet the positive relationship of private landowner to the state on wildlife management, we have much to learn from the rest of the nation on how to set this up. Our goal is to share this information so we, in a safe manner, not make it a native or non-native issue, a landowner, non-landowner issue, but a way to establish these as concessions as you would on the state or national park method. As we mentioned, there are 49 ways out there to do this. We really don't care. Pick one that fits Alaska, and let's get this process going of turning us into partners rather than opponents.
One more follow-up from Representative Hannon.
Thank you. So, Mr. Harris, I guess I'm understanding from you that you're envisioning this is private lands where guided hunts could be executed, and right now the description you gave was that wounded warriors with a guide were able to hunt Tionic lands, but it was not open for general non-guided hunters to access.
No landowner wants a free-for-all on their property through the chair. And we have to have guidance, and we look to the state to help establish that guidance as it was done in other states, help establish that program. And we don't have to learn from scratch. There are multiple examples out there where states do this as best practices. Those states who do this welcome the landowner as a completing interest, not a competing interest. Those states have dramatically enhanced their wildlife resource for the benefit of all, both the local community, the guiding community, and the residents who don't happen to own any land. These systems have done very well, and we would encourage the state to look at those examples and pick what fits best for Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Rauscher, did you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. Through the chair, I was just wondering, all your, I think, personal information has been redacted, so all I can say is can you give my office a call, because I'd like to have a conversation with you. I'm easy to find, and I'd appreciate it very much. Thank you.
I would ask that my information be made available, Madam Chair. We are transparent in this issue, and any and all information we have is available on request. And we, as a community, as members of this effort, we've been documenting this since 2001 and have very precise information to share, and we'd be happy to do so. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We will absolutely do that. Representative Sponholz.
Thank you, Co-Chair Tarr. I just want to just have a comment, really, more than a question. As I'm reading, you know, your letter describing the decline in harvest rates in Alaska, and some numbers were really stark to me, you know, the decline of the number of moose harvested on the Kenai Peninsula from between, you know, 700 and 2,400 during the Hammond administration to 66 during 2012. You know, really illustrates the decline in sort of productivity and the number of moose available for harvest. And when we think about the importance of putting food on the table of Alaskans, you know, we know that finding ways to have more moose and caribou and all of the other foods that we love to eat is really important. And I appreciate the creativity that you have illustrated by sharing a new approach to trying to increase the number of game that are available for hunt and for putting food on Alaskans' table. So thank you for, you know, bringing a new suggestion sort of to the table for public conversation. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Harris? Okay, then we'll go ahead to public testimony. I'll open that up. We have Mark Richards listed for public testimony. Mr. Richards.
Good afternoon again, Chairman Tarr and members of the committee. My name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska, representing some 2,000 Alaskans from across the state that support a resident hunting priority. Resident Hunters of Alaska supports Tom Harris for the landowner seat on the Big Game Commercial Services Board. I got to meet Mr. Harris for the first time at his first meeting a little over a month ago, and I was very impressed with his knowledge on wildlife management and food security issues,
One of the things we definitely agree on is that is food security for Alaskans. I think that Mr. Harris's role on the Big Game Commercial Services Board, however, and what he is trying to bring out here in his testimony is that I think some of the tribal conservation districts, they would like to have agreements with Fish and Game to do predator control programs on their lands, such as they did on Tyonic. And that will benefit not just the tribal conservation district itself, but hunters outside those lands as moose or caribou populations grow. One thing, and I will be talking to Mr. Harris about this, as we've been trying to stress, is that in the days when hopefully you do allow hunters to come on the tribal lands to hunt, that you also include residents and not just guided non-resident hunters. In closing, again, we hope you forward his name on. He's extremely knowledgeable, and I think he'll be a good asset on the board in the landowner seat. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. We really appreciate your testimony. Do we have any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, you are done. Do we have any other individuals? I don't have anyone signed up online, but I want to make sure that wasn't a mistake. Any other individuals that want to testify for Mr. Harris, either online or here in the room? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. And if there's no other discussion on these two individuals, Mr. Co-Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Resources Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees, Jason Bunch and Tom Harris, to the Big Game Commercial Services Board and recommends that the names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you. And we'll be adjourning here momentarily to sign the paperwork, but just a couple quick announcements before that. On Wednesday, we will have a budget subcommittee meeting, and so that is going to start at noon and go until 1:15. So again, our regular meeting will start at 1:20. Where we will have a consideration of the governor's appointees for the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council, so Marilyn Charles and Moses Toyakak, so those two individuals, and we'll have a presentation, Oil and Mining Solutions at the University of Alaska. One of the things we wanted to do as we're talking about the budget is look at some of the ways budgets in other areas impact resource development for the state, so the university presentation will help us understand how they meet that piece of workforce through education and those programs. So is there any other business? Representative Rauscher.
Just a curiosity note, Madam Chair. How are you going to handle amendments from the committee and or intent language?
For the budget? We need to check that in with Representative Kopp because he's actually the budget subcommittee chair, mm-hmm. or cannot, okay. Pardon me. And so I can pass that message along and ask them to address that tomorrow.
And I understand that. I just remember last year it was kind of like one committee did, one committee didn't do it one way, and one way didn't do it another way. So I guess that's the reason for the question, just so we get an understanding. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up, because we should address that now so folks can start to get prepared. And I appreciate you, giving that out in the conversation right now. So we'll ask Representative Knopp to please go over that so that everyone will know what's happening.
So we'll all be on the same, so we'll all be on the same page, all the committees this year? Is that your impression?
I am sorry, I do not have an answer to that question, because I just have been thinking about that, and because I'm not the subcommittee co-chair.
Okay.
But
I don't want to put you on the spot. I was just
wondering. But they think those are really important questions, and so, like I say, I'll pass them along, pardon me, and then hope that those can be addressed tomorrow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course. Any other thoughts, comments, wishes, wildlife sightings over the weekend? No? Okay. All right. Well, with no business left to come before the committee, we will adjourn at 2:40 p.m. Thank you, everyone.